Our Father, in your mercy, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that your word would shine its light, that we would hear, and that we would rejoice in faith and in trust. Our God, work among us, calm our fears, lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, the problems of this world can seem insurmountable. Day after day, the same headlines fill our newspapers. The same stories flood our TV and radio news. Inappropriate political donations shroud our elected officials in scandal. Strawman arguments for the pro-life position are dismantled with condescension. The same arguments at the G7 meeting are had that were had the last time the G7 met. The same arguments. And then we hear the stories that aren't often told in the media of Christians around the world suffering at the hands of their neighbours and their governments, arrested, tortured, abused, forced out of their homes, unable to find work, abandoned by their families, gone missing, never to be seen again. And on the personal level, so many of our problems just never seem to go away. Our hearts feel that they might be swallowed up with our despair at our children and our family who know something of Jesus but don't believe in him despite all that they've been taught. Our mind never feels at rest as we worry over things like our health. Our confidence is rattled as we wait and wait and wait for the news that will change everything. We rarely, or sometimes it feels as though we rarely feel as though we're winning. And while we might have some personal victories, when we look at the world around us, either to the headlines or to the hidden stories of persecuted Christians, it feels like evil and wrong are winning. We lift our eyes and we see the violence and oppression both against God's people and against people in general. But here's our problem. We haven't lifted our eyes high enough. We see the problems, but we forget the God who stands high above it all, watching everything, moving in power to achieve his grand purposes, even in the most horrible circumstances. Acts 5, verses 12 to 42 tells us clearly, don't worry. God is stronger than the world. It seems like the world has us beat. But there is a God who is stronger than them all. God is stronger, and if we are in Christ, then we have nothing to fear because he always wins. Don't worry, God is stronger than the world. But what does that look like? It's easy to say. What does it mean to not worry? Why can we not worry? What does it look like? In verses 12 to 16, it means, don't be scared to join Jesus' church. Wonders were being done left and right. Verse 12, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. As the apostles preached, declaring that they were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, God authenticated their message with miracles. Now notice this was at the hands of the apostles. There are some popular speakers and authors out there who claim that if we have faith, enough faith, that we should expect miracles too. I've heard one of these people talk about rebuking a storm while she was in a plane, and apparently the storm went the other way. But as we read these verses, God is working through his apostles to authenticate their eyewitness testimony to the resurrection. This isn't normal, which is what makes it so special. People out on the streets, eager for Peter's shadow to fall on them, that they would be close enough to him so that healing might come their way. Just like it came to that bleeding woman who just reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. These are out of this world scenes with people coming even from outside Jerusalem to be healed. And those people coming and hearing the message of salvation and being saved. Verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. These verses tell us, don't be scared to join Jesus' church. His eye is on his church. And while we don't see these incredible healing ministries, we do see God working in power to bring people to salvation. But there were people who were scared to join the church. Verse 13, none of the rest dared join them. There were unbelievers who wouldn't join themselves to the believers. They'd already seen Peter and John arrested, and they didn't want to be associated with them, even though they had seen the miracles. If you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, and you haven't joined the church because you are scared, think carefully. Jesus saves from sin. You might be scared because you've seen Christians mocked. And maybe because you know how your family would react if you believed. But Jesus is the only way to be saved. Don't swim along the current of our culture, which can't do anything to relieve your guilt and your shame. Swim against the current and come to Jesus, who can save you and wash you clean. Find forgiveness in Jesus and join his church. Nail your colours to the mast, like you might with your footy team or with your political party that you support. Become a member, one with us in our mission to see others come to know that same salvation. Don't be scared to join Jesus' church. Now, if you've already joined us, you might look at places like verse 14 and give a great big sigh, because you have never seen anything like that. You've heard about it in other places, but not here. But why not here? Why not? God can work wonders. And so let's not let verse 14 fill us with a bit of sadness that it's not happening right now. Let's let it fill us with hope and pray that he would do it again here now. Keep praying that prayer. Add believers to your church here, Lord, like you did there. May they not be scared to join Jesus' church. Let 14 spark in us that prayer that God would work. Don't worry. God is stronger than the world. Though people were scared to join his church, still his church grew. And what else does it look like to not worry, trusting that God is stronger than the world? In verses 17 to 26, it means, don't despair at raging rulers. Are you tempted to despair when you see what our political rulers are doing? Maybe what your boss is doing and the policies of your workplace. The high priest and the Sadducees, rulers of the Jews, were indignant, verse 17 says. These upstart apostles wouldn't stop preaching about Jesus, even though they had told them to stop. And so, verse 18, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. How would you be feeling if you were one of those apostles? Two of you had already been arrested, and now all of you have been arrested. Incredibly, the apostles weren't despairing. They were confident in the God they served, in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd probably been arrested late in the day to give them time in the night to stew in fear. Just one way of exercising control over the situation by the high priest. But the high priest wasn't in control. Verses 19 to 21. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. The high priest can't even keep prisoners in a locked prison if the Lord doesn't want it. The high priest had sent his soldiers to arrest them, but the Lord had sent his own soldier to release them, that they'd keep speaking about the life that can be found in Jesus. And the next morning we have that amusing scene of officers coming to get them from the prison. But even though everything was locked up, they weren't there. It looks as though not only did the angel open the door for them, but he even locked it up again. He closed it and locked it again. And when they hear that the apostles are preaching in the temple, they get them, but it's the officers who are scared, not the apostles. What does it mean to not worry and to remember that God is stronger than the world? It means to not despair at raging rulers. Now, can we expect an angelic visit when we're arrested for preaching the gospel? Well, no more than our brothers and sisters in North Korea, starving away and slaving away in horrible conditions, because they dare believe that Jesus is the ruler of the world. But it does mean that if we're ever in that situation because we share the gospel, we don't have to despair, because Jesus is stronger than the world. He is in charge. Jesus, not our boss, not the police, not the government, no matter what happens to us. Now, this doesn't mean that we ignore everything that our boss says. You can't spend all your time talking about Jesus if your boss is paying you to do something else. But when the threats come because you're a Christian, you don't have to despair at their raging. Jesus is in control, even when you're in prison. We don't have to worry because God is stronger than the world. That means we're not to be scared to join the church or despair at raging rulers. And in verses 27 to 32, it means don't forget who watches over you. They'd been commanded by the council to disobey Jesus' direct command. Verse 28, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They'd been told to stop preaching, but this was a command that they couldn't obey. Verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Even when face to face with those, with the ones who could imprison them and even arrange for their deaths, they were bold. They didn't forget that they belonged to the Lord and that nothing happens to them without his okay. The apostles defied what the authorities told them, and they were right to do that. We'd like this to mean that we can ignore everything that the authorities say to us. We'd like it to mean that we can just ignore that speed sign that we think is a bit ridiculous, that we don't need to bother with voting or paying our taxes. But that's not what this means. We are to obey the authorities. Romans 13 is very clear on that. But when we are forced to choose between obeying God and obeying people, we have to obey God. God is our highest authority, and so we obey him no matter the cost. Jesus paid the ultimate cost for us, and so we can pay the ultimate cost for him. And we can know that, and we can do it knowing that he watches over us. Not that everything will be a bed of roses. Not that it'll be easy. But knowing who he is, his power, his authority. Kai recently finished a book, a biography for kids, on Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew was a man, is a man, who fearlessly smuggled Bibles into places where Bibles weren't allowed, into the Soviet Union and China and Cuba. He knew that Christians had been given a command by Jesus to make disciples. And so he brought Bibles, defying the authorities, because he didn't forget who was watching over him. Just look at who Jesus is. In verse 30, he's the one God raised up, even though the very people that these apostles are talking to are the ones who had effectively murdered him. The high priest said that these apostles intend to bring Jesus' blood on them, and he was right. They were. They weren't going to let the high priest and this council get away from it. These people who had said themselves in Matthew 27:25, "His blood be on us and on our children." The one they had murdered was now raised. And in verse 31, he's been exalted to God's right hand, the Prince and Saviour, so that he would give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Even now these rulers had a chance to repent and find forgiveness. The apostles knew who watched over them, and so they declared the mission of Jesus. His mission to save those who repent. Acts 5:12-42 urges us, don't worry. God is stronger than the world. And the final way it encourages us not to worry is by telling us in those final verses, 33-42, don't despise your suffering for Christ. The council was furious. Not only had the apostles ignored them by proclaiming Jesus to the people, they were even proclaiming Jesus to them, the very council who had told them to stop preaching about Jesus, saying that they were guilty of Christ's murder, saying that they didn't have the Spirit because they weren't willing to obey the call to repent. And now this council wants to add to their sin. Not only by have they killed Jesus, but they want to kill the apostles. Verse 33. But then Gamaliel, a Pharisee, stands up. It's a surprising shift. You wouldn't expect a Pharisee to come to the rescue of the apostles. He gives a history lesson about two revolutionaries, Theudas and Judas. Judas, not the one who betrayed Jesus, another Judas. These two men had a following. But when they died, their movement died. And the point of his lesson comes in verses 38 to 39. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Now, this isn't an absolute rule. Just because leaders die doesn't mean their movements die. Muhammad died, but Islam still lives. Joseph Smith died, but the Mormons are still around. They still exist. But in the Jewish context, it was very true. All those who claimed to be the chosen one of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the King, if those people died, then their movement had to die. Because the Messiah was supposed to live forever. Now, Gamaliel expected this movement to die. But we know that this movement is of God. From the very beginning of Acts, that's clear. And the Jewish leaders show themselves to be fighting against God. Even after Jesus was raised, even after his apostles were doing signs and wonders by the Spirit, they'd rejected God. In these verses, we have two groups of people, and one group is the leader of God's people. And it's not the high priest or his council. The apostles are now the leaders of God's people, which was now the church of the believing Jews, which would soon become the church of Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles who have placed their trust in Jesus, united in Christ, forgiven by his blood, hated by both unbelieving Jew and Gentile. And because the Jewish ruling council had rejected God, they rejected his apostles, beating them and ordering them not to speak. But in verse 41 to 42, it says, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. God is stronger than the world, and so we don't have to worry. And instead of despising our suffering for Christ, we can rejoice in it. When we are abused, mocked, insulted for Jesus, we shouldn't feel shame. We should rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of the one who suffered shame for us. The problems of this world feel insurmountable at times. Headlines, stories of the persecuted church, our own lives. It all feels beyond our ability, and it is. But we don't have to worry, because God is stronger than the world. This isn't a cheesy movie where all the problems are wrapped up nicely in a bow by the end for us to enjoy. But it is an assurance that even as life is hard, there is a God working in power, working out his purposes. And so even though the world is against us, don't be scared to join the church. Don't despair at raging rulers. Don't forget who watches over you. Don't despise your sufferings for Christ. Through all the trials and the heartaches, through all the pain, through all the longings for it to be over, don't worry. God is stronger than the world. Let's pray to our great and sovereign God. Our Father, we do rejoice. Even as we look around the world, even as we see suffering and heartache and pain, and even as we experience it ourselves, we rejoice, knowing that you are sovereign, knowing that you reign over all things, knowing that your eye is upon us. Lord, we pray that you would give us the power to not worry, to not be filled with despair, that we would remember who you are, that we would remember who Christ is, that we would remember what you have done, that we would remember your power and greatness. Lord, when we see the pain of this life, when we experience hardships for trusting in you, may we lift our eyes even higher than those things and see the Lord Jesus seated on his throne, reigning over it all. May we remember his love for us. May we delight in him. Lord, may we not worry, and instead remember that you are stronger than the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.